Next, I'd like to introduce...
Throw your hands in the air if you're a true player.
This is Sheeman and Shepard.
That boy is good.
Good and terrible.
You shut your mouth.
I think you two dudes are going to become real homies.
Where do we find these guys?
Oh, man, I hate those guys.
Sheeman and Shepard on 99.3 ESPN and the 99.3 ESPN app.
TGIF, everybody. It is the weekend. Well, almost. We are live and local, 2 to 6 every weekday. I'm Craig Sheeman with Pete Shepard. Chris on the other side of the glass. It's the Sheeman and Shepard Show, and we are good to go. Thanks for checking us out. Phone number 239-337-ESPN, 239-337-3776. Follow us on Twitter at 99.3ESPN. Follow me on Twitter at CraigESPN. Follow Pete Shepard at PSHEP326. Download our app for free, and you can check out our website, 99.3ESPN.com. Don't forget to sign up for our Sheeman and Shepard Fantasy Football or NFL Pick'em game. Lots of stuff for you to peruse on the website out there. Pete Shepard, how are you today, sir?
Fantastic. Beautiful day again here in Southwest Florida. And it's official.
Yeah. Yes.
You have a problem.
Oh, is that how we're going to start? Well, I really don't have a problem. I was 3 for 3 last night. I had the Raiders on the money line. I did a last-second Philip Rivers plus 1.5 on touchdown passes. I took the over on that. And your Celtics, I did well.
I got a text.
A 66% return on investment.
I wish I had saved the text. You got it. Now, yesterday we brought up the show that's on ESPN2. We talked about it.
Daily Wager. Oh, my word.
You had never seen it.
I never even heard of it.
Never seen it. I get home last night at like 6:22, like I always do. And at 6, I'll be honest with you, I always forget it. I watch Finney's show at the end, but I forget it's on. But they had SEC soccer tournament on. I didn't want to watch that. So why? I said, oh, it's here we go. So I said, oh, Daily Wager, here we go. It wasn't even, I don't know, 3 or 4 minutes after one of the boys said, here's my best bet, Philip Rivers, over 1.5 passing touchdowns. Craig texts me, tells me, hey, I think I'm going to do 1.5. You know, Philip Rivers.
I'll tell you, this is the greatest show ever.
The greatest show ever. First time ever. It wasn't even 10 minutes. Would you go 90 to get home?
No. I was. I've got. Yeah, home
I mean, you only live about 10 minutes from me, but
yeah.
But I was like, oh my god, he's and then
the text was at 6:57 yesterday.
Okay, I was a
Daily Wager. The rest is capitalized. Unbleeping believable. And no, I didn't put bleeping in there. Craig texted out bleeping.
Yes, yes.
I've taped tonight's show because it's on every day.
He taped DVRs it.
And I've got an Excel spreadsheet. I'm gonna see who I like, who's right more often than not.
I would like to apologize to the entire Sheeman family for causing this.
It's bad.
We pushed him to this place.
Yeah. This is way more entertaining than fantasy football. Way
It's not
more.
Even close.
No.
Although I had a monkey knife fight last night that
That's
hit.
It's a different thing. I think fantasy football
This is why
better.
I retired from fantasy football, so I could concentrate on other activities. By the way, do we have the Lightning Sabres game
yes,
on? They got
it
a
is.
2 o'clock game.
Yeah. Right. Don't worry. I got your European hockey on right now.
You guys
give me a hard time.
No, this is NHL.
NHL. That would be playing in Sweden today.
Where is it being played?
Sweden.
Buffalo
European hockey.
Buffalo has 6 Swedes. Tampa Bay has 1. Therefore, I go with the 6 Swedes. And
yes.
I think Buffalo's playing a little bit better right now, even though they've lost 3 in a row.
It's a homecoming.
But we'll keep you up to date on that today.
Oh, yeah.
And
this will be the most hockey coverage you've ever had.
And, oh, 2 of the biggest football games of the year, if not more, with obviously LSU-Georgia. And I'm putting Penn State and Minnesota in that category.
LSU-Georgia? Oh.
I'm LSU.
Alabama.
Did I say Georgia?
You did.
Jeez.
You got Georgia on your mind.
Georgia. LSU-Alabama. Yep.
All right. We'll do that. Also, before we get going, I'd like to thank the Honorable Pete Shepard. We've had a sandwich bet some time ago, back when the rumors were about Jim Harbaugh last year and maybe leaving Michigan to go coach the Dolphins for all the money in the world. It never happened. And I said, I guarantee Jim Harbaugh would be coaching day one to start this season. And Pete Shepard owned up sandwich bet. Nice meatball sub today. Thank you very much.
Yeah, from our friends at Firehouse.
Yeah.
And yes, I paid for it.
It was delightful.
It's very good.
You even asked Chris if you wanted to jump in on my
he
bet.
Said no.
And he turned you down. I don't understand that. But that was all very good. All right.
Craig, I pull my own weight.
Oh, okay. Well, you know, he offered.
Friendly. I was just there. I just offered since I was there. It wasn't a bet.
Very nice. Very gracious. All right.
It was very nice. We had a sandwich bet. It evened out.
Yeah.
Oh. I appreciate the offer.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
Yeah.
You'll take it when it's really earned.
Yeah.
Won, whatever the case is. All right. I had another situation I got to get into. Plus, we'll get into all the activity. Gabe Morenci, don't forget, Pigskin Picks, Wikipedia. Today will be music. Trivia, which, depending on the era, can or cannot be Pete Shepard's strength. If it's pre-1990.
I'm strong in a lot of areas.
Well, look, I purposely did a question.
It's sprinkled around
eras. I mean, it kind of starts in the 70s and goes through the 20-teens.
Yeah.
All right.
And Pete Shepard has a college football quiz later on.
Quiz or a list?
It's a quiz. It's four questions relating to one particular player.
And
it's a little bit of a challenge. It's a player that is playing this year, and I will say this, in the SEC.
Okay.
All right. Narrows it down.
Yeah.
By the way, one player may not be playing for Ohio State anymore.
No, not we'll May. He's out.
Some sort of loan situation's not working out. We'll tell you. And he may also be the number one pick in the draft, so you never know. Without any further delay, here is the SportsCenter rundown to kick off our Friday. Here's Chris.
All right, well, we'll start there. Ohio State defensive end Chase Young not going to play in tomorrow's game against Maryland due to possible NCAA violations stemming from 2018. Young says that he was loaned money from a family friend before repaying it over the summer. Last night, the Raiders beat the Chargers 26-24. I got a bet right. I told you to take the Raiders. It played out that way. Unbelievable. Raiders now have 10 days off before taking on the Bengals. The Chargers have 11 days off. They got the Chiefs on Monday Night Football.
All right. A lot to get to here. I have to tell you one other thing on my personal life before we move on.
Oh.
A couple of days ago, I told you the water heater was going. And a lot of you listeners out there who do manly things maybe for a living chastised me, saying that it was a piece of cake. I should do it myself. There's no way I could have done that by myself. I had a guy come in and put in a new water heater this morning, and I watched to try and learn, and there's no way I could have done it. I'm not man enough to do that kind of stuff. So I'm just telling you right now, those of you that said I should have done it myself, no, I made the wise choice to not do it myself.
I commend you. A little bit of breaking news.
Do we need the
no,
the
I don't think so.
You want me to scream?
No.
Breaking news?
You can mildly scream if you like a little. But
breaking news!
Adam Teicher from ESPN covers the Chiefs.
Well done.
Pat Mahomes will start for the Chiefs Sunday against the Titans.
All right.
His first since a dislocated kneecap October 17th against the Broncos. Those of you waiting on your fantasy football picks, he's going to start.
He is no Ryan Tannehill. That's who he's going against. Head to head. All right. Speaking of quarterbacks, I got to tell you, last night, Raiders led most of the game, then lost the lead late, and then won with about a minute to go with a touchdown, 26-24 over the Chargers. Last primetime night game out in the black hole, unless there's a playoff. And there may be. I mean, the Raiders are now 5-4. Derek Carr looked really good. He... that last drive was very precision-like, spot on. I mean, he missed his first receiver on his first throw, and then I hit everybody else. I was impressed. I was impressed with the play calling by John Gruden. I was impressed by Derek Carr and moving the ball down the field. They look good. What can I say?
Oh, no, they absolutely. They absolutely look good. I'm trying to think. I thought for sure. I'm looking on Sound Street here.
We got some John Gruden.
No, but Brett Musburger. I don't know if you heard the call, Chris, when Jacob scored the touchdown?
No, yeah. I didn't hear it.
On the radio?
No.
I'll try and find it for you during the break.
You give a good roll tide?
A big roll tide at the end.
There we go.
By the way, as I predicted, they did show the Holy Roller forward fumble with Dave the Casper or the Ghost.
Oh, they did. I missed. I didn't.
It was in the, late in the second half.
Oh, I missed it.
They did show it.
Yeah,
back in the
great
day.
Call.
So, yeah, a lot of fun. It should have been a 3-point win by the Raiders. Their kicker missed their extra point. I thought John Gruden was going to cut the kicker right there on the spot, but he didn't.
We're getting texts already about, you know, reports that Deion Sanders has emerged as a candidate for the FSU.
No, he hasn't.
Well, no. I mean, because according to him, he has. But if that ever happens, then Florida State is absolutely has no scruples, no morals, no ethics, no nothing left. You may have him on as a consultant. I'm sure he could recruit a lot of, you know, great players. You put him as a – you really think that he would work out as a head coach at Florida State? I mean, no. I think the whole thing is preposterous.
Here's what's happened. The story came out that said he was now suddenly a candidate. Everybody got excited. And then there was another story that came out like a couple hours ago that says, no, Deion is not a candidate for this job. There was one job where he was a high school coach for a private prep school, and apparently that was a disaster.
It was.
Kids were ineligible.
Yeah.
People got fired. I mean, it was a bad deal. So, yeah, he would not.
It was a high school in Texas, Craig.
Yeah.
It was a high school in Texas. Deion Sanders is from here in Southwest Florida.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So what are you saying?
I'm saying he really messed with a really good player from here. Really messed with his career.
Oh, really?
Really messed with him a lot, yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So he wouldn't be good. Now, I seem to recall a year and a half ago, Willie Taggart made an effort to bring Deion back into the fold. Because both Deion and Bobby Bowden, by the way, today's Bobby Bowden's birthday.
Yep.
Were out of the loop during the Jimbo era. And there was some talk of even Willie trying to hire Deion to be on a staff, presumably to coach DBs, and that never came. Look, Deion doesn't want to do the grind required, whether it be an assistant or a head coach for the recruiting and practices. Deion wants to be Deion.
I think it's laughable. I don't know how stuff like this gets fabricated, but I think like that is just absolutely beyond laughable. I mean, please.
Yeah.
You cannot tell me any serious alum there would welcome that move. After what that program's been through.
I think he should
and don't give me this gives it instant credibility. No, it doesn't.
I think he should be part of the program.
Well, yeah, that's what I mean.
Roll his face out there, touchdown clubs, and maybe recruiting if that's legal. I don't know what's legal anymore. But, yeah, I would use him and have him be part of the program and have him on the sidelines. But, no, come on. Deion's not coaching anything. Just leave it at that.
Yeah.
All right, as long as we are talking about college football. So what's Ohio State defensive end Chase Young? Probably be a top 1, 2, 3 pick in the draft.
It's
going to sit out the Maryland game. Apparently took a loan from a family friend, paid it back, but now we're investigating who was this family friend. And do we want to find out, was this family friend really a booster or whatever the case was? But all of a sudden his eligibility is at stake. I don't know, just beyond the Maryland game, the rest of the season. This goes back to 2018. Well,
he released a statement today, and it said, unfortunately, I won't be playing this week because of an NCAA eligibility issue. I made a mistake last year by accepting a loan from a family friend I've known since the summer before my freshman year at OSU. I repaid it in full last summer, and I'm working with the university and the NCAA to get back in the field as soon as possible. I want to thank my family, teammates, coaches, and whole OSU community for all the love and support. God bless. Go Bucks. To me, this kind of stuff is so minor. It's so absolutely ridiculous.
Well, I know how you feel, but the rules are the rules.
What's the loan? $100, $500?
Or is it a car?
Money?
I don't know.
But it doesn't matter.
Oh,
it doesn't matter.
I know it doesn't matter.
And it is stupid. And
it doesn't
matter. He won't have to do this if Chase Young were born 4 years later.
Yep.
Right. He wouldn't have to do this because he would have been able to make a lot of money off of his name and likeness.
Right. But as the facts are today,
it's
in 2019.
Yes. Unfortunately, it is illegal.
And even 2018, I mean, it could be serious where if it were, you know, lots of money, the NCAA could look back and start expunging stuff from records.
Which
gives Jim Harbaugh a win.
No, it does not. It just makes him 0-4 against Ohio State, not 0-5 against Ohio State.
No, he's not 0-5 yet.
Sorry, then he'd be 0-3 instead of
0-4. Which looks a lot better than 0-5.
Yeah, a lot better, sure. Huh. I'm interested if it was a $1,000 loan and they come back that he paid back $995 of it, that means Ohio State has played an ineligible player the entire season
and last year.
Meaning, I don't care about I don't care about 2018.
Possibility of
forfeiting. Go ahead and scratch the record books.
Does this open up a spot in the power? The college football rankings.
George
for
is
the playoffs?
Back in.
No. George is back in.
If they play Chase Young and it comes out that he was not eligible, yes, they have to vacate every one of those wins, which means that they're 0-whatever.
Right.
0-8.
0-8.
How quickly does this happen? Does this happen 3 years after the season's already over?
It's the NCAA.
Or
I mean,
does this happen before the playoffs start?
Well, that's just it.
The NCAA. I can't imagine that they're going to move quickly. They don't.
I mean, this is kind of a nightmare scenario for the NCAA.
Yeah. And you know, I think Tim Brando brought up a great point yesterday. One thing about whether you agree about expansion or not, the one thing that you cannot deny is you are alienating big chunks of the country by having, you know, the same kind of group, three or four teams around all the time. And personally, I don't care because I'm watching anyway, but the ratings certainly show it.
But it's But do you want a representative from the Pac-12 the last few years taking a spot from a team that clearly deserves to be in? I hate that argument.
Well, I'm talking about the one versus eight.
We need to compromise the integrity of a playoff because we want people in California to be interested. No, we don't set up tournaments because of TV ratings.
Basketball did. And it looked how it's worked out for the March Madness. That's why they did it. They did it for no other reason except for not alienating
certain
parts of the
country. So we're just
going to
stick teams in there. So let's have somebody from every state.
No, don't get carried away.
That's such a silly argument.
It's not a silly argument.
It really is.
It's not when you're talking about college football, which is a business. It's a business. And if you were Chris, I promise you, if you were head of a TV network exec, which you probably will be someday, you know, you're going to want some of these markets in on this chunk of change.
Because Los Angeles will be really interested if Washington State's in it.
Right,
no, it's silly.
No,
it's a silly argument. The big cities are never going to watch.
Well, if Southern Cal is in, like they were during Pete Carroll, that's the only way you get them interested.
So put them in every year. So we can get the L.A. market.
No.
Put them in every year. We
I'm
can get
on your
LA
side
market.
On this.
It's not just about the L.A. market,
you know what?
Though.
Let's put Rutgers in as well so New York City feels like they've got somebody representing them.
Don't get carried away.
But it is about the Los Angeles market. That's why we always have 9 o'clock. We used to have 9 o'clock kickoffs. They had to have that West Coast audience to hit their ratings quotas. They always do. That's why we have all these late games all the time. It's not as bad as it used to
all
be.
All I'm saying for me, I don't think it's so preposterous if they had, if they had the 18 playoff like we talked about, and Tim brought it up yesterday, what it was. I think it'd be fascinating, and I do think you would gain. You can't say that it wouldn't gain more. It may not be as much as some people think, but you can't tell me you're not going to gain some more interest than you normally would.
So
if it was just Alabama, Clemson,
but he called it the Sun Belt LSU Championship, and I told him right there on the show yesterday. I said it still would be. Now that it means Georgia and Florida are in, they'll put four teams in an 18 playoff in the SEC. Yeah. They will. And throw in Clemson and other Southeast teams.
No, they wouldn't.
So you pull in the Los Angeles market, right?
I don't know.
But if that's at the expense of leaving out Georgia, you're trading Los Angeles market, which, okay.
No. Even Georgia's not left out here, though. But Georgia's not left out here, though.
Georgia wouldn't be left out of an 18 playoff this year.
No, they'd be six. I'm talking, if the playoffs started today, they'd be six.
So, but you've got major cities in the South that are still giving you massive numbers. Mm-hmm. They're going to watch in Dallas. They're going to watch in Atlanta. They're going to watch in Charlotte. Mm-hmm. They're going to watch in your college football hotspots.
Agreed.
And if USC isn't competent enough to put together a championship-level team, I don't. That's not.
I think
you're
mistaking me
football.
For. I'm not talking about just having the number one marketing in Los Angeles. I'm not just talking about it. I'm just saying overall, to me, you gain a lot more interest around the country overall if you had Utah versus Ohio State, Oregon versus LSU, Georgia versus Alabama, Penn State, Clemson. I just think it generates more interest.
I completely
nationally.
Disagree.
I don't care
you
about.
You haven't mentioned
one
matchup that would get the West Coast interested.
I don't care, but it would. But right. There would be more interest around the country. You cannot deny it. I'm not talking about exactly California per se. I'm just talking about nationally. I think it would gain more interest. You keep lumping me in with California. Yeah, USC or UCLA would be nice. Forget all that. I'm just saying I think it would generate more interest nationally. Not as much as over the top as some people think, but you would get more interest. That's all. Don't hurt me.
I just I look at Pac-12 football right now. They're not interested in their own teams.
They're going to have 9 o'clock a.m. games before long.
They don't care about college football. Go watch a USC game. People only care when they're really, really, really good.
Yeah.
If not, the Coliseum is half empty. And it is every single Saturday.
Same with
UCLA right now. It's same with pretty much every team in that conference outside of Oregon.
I don't disagree.
And Utah.
I don't disagree with that, but I'm saying if the college football playoffs started today, you would gain a lot more interest nationally. If it was Ohio State, LSU, Alabama, Penn State, it would not get as much interest. I mean, it would for us in some markets. But I still think if you have an 18 playoff and you add Utah, Oregon, and Georgia in there as well, which would be the and Clemson, those would be right there, the 5 through 8 teams. I mean, I think it generates more interest. That's all I'm saying. I don't care about California overall. I just think it generates more interest around the country.
Well, again, we can go back and forth. We'll agree to disagree on that one.
That's fine.
Anyway, 239-337-ESPN, 239-337-3776 is the phone number if you want to jump on that.
And somebody says Ohio State versus Utah's versus Ohio State versus Clemson. No, okay, it's the first round game. It's a playoff, obviously. You're going to play more than one, obviously. But what would you rather see? Right now, Clemson's not in it. If the playoffs started today, Clemson's not in it.
They will be as soon as Ohio State is ruled ineligible.
To my argument, without the 18 playoff, you don't get Clemson. Okay? Married 1 year. You don't get. So, I mean, just think about it in those terms right there, whether you think Clemson's deserve it or not. The way it stands right now, if the college football playoffs started today, no Clemson.
Who does Clemson have this weekend?
Oh, please, NC State.
NC State, yeah.
Oh, it's going to be game on.
I told you. It's gonna score, they're going
to
score 70.
They're going to run up the score to make a point.
Put it up. I think they win by at least – I said it yesterday. I think I said they win at least by 42.
They may cover the over by themselves.
At least by 42.
Oh, yeah. Feel bad for them.
But anyway, I mean, it's good fodder for – it's good fodder. It's just the way I feel. I don't think there's any huge right or wrong answer, except I will say there's going to be expand. There's just too much money out there. It may come – later rather than sooner. We'll see what kind of chaos is formed this year. Long way to go.
Also, here's another good laugh. The new AD, Mike Bond, has finally accepted the job at USC. He says that he will not make a snap judgment on Clay Helton.
But we have.
Coach. Maybe he should.
He has. It came up in the job interview, I'm sure. There's already been a snap judgment. There's 100% chance Clay Helton will not.
Fact.
Be the head football coach at Southern Cal next year.
Fact.
Thank you.
Tampa Bay just scored 1-0.
That's not how it was.
Come on,
to
guys.
Go.
We're doing a show an hour and a half south of the place. Let's be a little excited.
3:19 and a Lightning take the 1-0 lead of the Sabres in Sweden.
Why are they in Sweden? What's this global series?
Grow
the game?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Do we go over there and upset their fans and human rights and all that somewhere in the area?
Are you ready?
Like the NBA?
Sweden, I don't think
Sweden's
it's as
pretty
far
neutral.
That way as China.
China.
Joel Katt, who covers the NFL for Fox. Ready for this?
Yeah.
Deion to FSU makes some sense. One, head coaches that don't call plays are more of a CEO recruiter anyway. Two, it would be 100% contingent on the staff he could put together, needs some head coaching experience. Three, we'll get into every recruit's house he wants to.
That's just a guy that needed an idea to write something, and everybody else has already written about LSU, Alabama.
You know what number three is? We'll get into every recruit's house he wants to. Hey, Deion's coming over. Let's get an autograph. Let's get his photo session.
Yeah.
Let's do that.
But
let's
I ain't signing a letter of intent.
No, I'm not going there.
Unless you're a defensive back. If you're a defensive back, yeah.
Sure.
I'll go to Florida State. I'll play for that guy.
Yeah.
He'll put me in the right
spots. So can you
imagine
Florida State hiring him contingent on what his staff would look like? So basically you'd have an associate head coach, way more experienced as a head coach. Deion would be looking over his shoulder. And you'd have to fire him after another year, and that makes another coach you'd have to buy out.
The more I think about it, the more I think Jim Levitt's going to be the next head coach at Florida State. I do. I mean, this is suddenly not a good job. This was a great job back in the day. And, I mean, you got Rutgers considering eight-figure additions to the campus to try and hire
Greg Schiano.
Florida State's been falling behind on that kind of stuff and that infrastructure. That's why, quote-unquote, Jimbo left, even though they built a new facility for him.
Well, Jimbo also left because he had $75 million
That's true.
Waiting for him.
That's true. Meanwhile, Gary Danielson, who's going to be doing the game
I want to talk to you about this.
He says he doesn't care what Alabama says. Some people are starting to watch Tua at practice, and he's not Tua. Gary Danielson says he's not the same player as the beginning of the year. He's flat-footed. He's clearly still in pain.
I appreciate the information, Gary. Here's the problem I have, and I'm not sure of the rules of college football. I know if he was covering an NFL game and put that out there on Twitter, all hell would break loose. You are not allowed to report on anything you see during stretching or at practice. He's not. I don't think he's supposed to do that.
But it's good information.
It's
for
great
me.
Information. I mean, they do. That's why they have production meetings and
that sucks,
coach.
Actually,
you know this, Craig. At production meetings, your coaches will give you little nuggets of information,
but you don't
not
go public
to be shared
with it until, the,
until
game.
The game is ongoing.
Yeah,
I was stunned, to be honest with you, and I'm not sure what the rules are in the NCAA, but this is stuff you don't see this a lot. I saw this morning. I retweeted it immediately. Could not believe it. If I'm Alabama, I am livid that he did that.
He may have broken some HIPAA laws.
You're not supposed to. You might have broken some NCAA where you are not supposed to report on stuff you see at practice, especially as a broadcaster doing the game. They give you that privilege that others don't even have.
I agree.
So you can use nuggets during the game. If I'm Nick Saban, I bet you he's freaking furious, and I wouldn't blame him one bit. Wouldn't blame him one bit.
I mean, Nick Saban's been trying to massage this right up to kickoff and keep people guessing as to where the team. And we were laughing at
and
him.
I'd say that about any coach in this situation,
sure.
not just him. I mean, that's a violation. There's an etiquette. There's a protocol involved here. And I think Gary Danielson might be in a little bit of trouble here.
Could be.
I couldn't believe it. I mean, when you saw it, didn't you? I was like, what?
Oh, yeah.
How do you do that?
I said, I appreciate the info, but
yeah.
Wow. And I don't think he was the only one. I think there was another reporter that said kind of the same thing, so.
Well, they were showing some video of him watching it this morning, so I'm assuming it was from yesterday. He did not look nimble.
Yeah.
I mean, he was throwing and he wasn't moving.
Right.
He was just standing on a spot, not even kind of bouncing on your toes, simulating patting the ball, anything like that. No, I mean, he was flat-footed, like Danielson said.
Let me ask you this. Is there a chance that Alabama's obviously been very guarded as to what they show, and like in the NFL, you're allowed to, or the NBA, you're allowed to see like 5 minutes of practice, and then the media leaves, and then the real stuff starts.
Yeah.
I'm wondering, are they putting on a show? Are they trying to lull LSU into sleep here, thinking that Tua's not 100%? And he really is going to be.
Regardless of what it is, Gary Danielson is not, and again, the whole Quake and Peter Burns, I watched Tua practice yesterday. He's not 100%. I don't care what Alabama says. He doesn't have that spring in his step. It's not natural. He's okay. I'd be playing if I was him, but he's not the Tua that started the season. Gary Danielson on SEC this morning on SiriusXM with Peter Burns. I mean, you say that about any team, and you're the lead color man, which he's going to be for that game. I don't know how he doesn't get in a little bit of trouble. I don't know how Nick Saban doesn't call him up or get a hold of, say, what are we doing? You can't say that.
Yeah. All right. We'll take your thoughts on that at 239-337-ESPN, 239-337-3776. College football this weekend. We've got Vandy in Florida at 11 o'clock. Is it Missouri and Georgia, our night game later on here at 99.3 ESPN? We are just warming up on a big-time Friday. Stay with us. Sheeman and Shepherd on 99.3 ESPN and the 99.3 ESPN app. Sheeman and Shepherd on 99.3 ESPN and the 99.3 ESPN app. Glad to be with you on a Friday. Don't forget the big 4 o'clock hour on Fridays. Pigskin Picks, Gabe Morenci. We've got Wikipedia. It'll be a music genre today.
Ooh.
You have some breaking news in the NBA.
Yeah, Bleacher Report is reporting, not really a big surprise, that Steph Curry is out for the remainder of the season. I mean,
but they were going to wait like 6 weeks, take a look at it after the surgery, and then decide.
Yep. I just retweeted the story from Bleacher Report. They are reporting it. I haven't seen anywhere else first, but they are reporting it. Rick Butcher, or Boucher, he's a senior writer, also FS1 analyst, 805,000 followers. He says, Steph Curry unlikely to play the remainder of the season.
Hmm. Well, they got 74 more games to get 34 wins.
Not a problem.
Not a problem.
It's a little problem, but
yeah, we're going to be down on this one, Pete.
No, it'll come. You watch; it'll come down to the last week.
No,
we'll have to win
this.
We'll have to win like two. We'll have to win like two out of our last three.
with the first pick in the draft, the Golden State Warriors take
your boy Cole Anthony.
Cole Anthony from North Carolina.
By the and we wouldn't talk about
it. They don't need another point guard.
No.
They got two already.
Yeah, they do.
So we brought this up yesterday at the end of the show when the story broke about Trent Williams being put on the non-football injury list. The Redskins have elected not to pay him the remaining balance of his $5.1 million base salary for 2019. So that's going to be an issue.
He's got to get it, I would think. I mean, he reported, but they can't get him on the field.
Going to be a mess. A mess.
Married 1 year. You're absolutely right. Craig lucked his way into that win of a bet.
Oh, he knows that.
No, I don't.
No, you absolutely lucked into that bet.
I saw the team was crumbling before our very eyes.
You
late
saw
last year.
Steph Curry breaking his hand.
No, but it was reasonable to assume more wear and tear for this team. You saw how they were all falling down by the wayside.
Not that.
You saw the team they had on the floor in the final game of the finals?
We're not talking about getting back to the play. You keep thinking we were saying get back to the play. All he said was win 35 games.
That's what I said.
Yeah, but
you
I'm
said
saying,
less than 35.
Actually, I said less than 36, which I guess would be 30.
No, 36 wins
I think
the bet.
36 is the number.
36 wins the sandwich 36 bet.
36 was the number.
Yeah, 36.
Thank no you. One said they wouldn't be an eighth or ninth or tenth or whatever it is. We just
I
said
did.
They wouldn't win.
I did. I said it.
I know, but that doesn't. But I'm saying it didn't mean they couldn't win 35 games.
Very doubtful. From my perspective.
Oh, man.
All right. You know, as long as we're talking about the NBA, let's get into this, too. So, the last 2 days, Kawhi Leonard, there's been a lot of talk about his load management. He sat out the last two nationally televised games, doesn't want to do back-to-backs, pretty much what he did last year in Toronto to stay healthy for the playoffs. And it looked like, Pete, the NBA was in step with Kawhi Leonard and the Clippers. Like, yeah, he's met all the...
Read you the quote?
Checked all the boxes. This seems to be legit. This is cool. But the problem was, in the six games he did play, he lit it up and was the best player on the floor. And then last night, Doc Rivers in a press conference says, oh, healthiest I've ever seen him. Well, wait a minute.
Oops.
You've got him on an injury report, and you're doing load management and sitting out games. How is he the healthiest you've ever seen? The NBA fined the Clippers after making a public statement with the Clippers that they were kind of on board with this, fined them $50,000.
Let's go back to November 6th. That's 2 days ago at almost 48 hours ago. NBA spokesman Mike Bass on Kawhi Leonard. Quote, Kawhi Leonard is not a healthy player under the league's resting policy and as such is listed as managing a knee injury in the LA Clippers injury report. The league office in consultation with the NBA's director of sports and medicine. Bass continued, is comfortable with the team's medical staff's determination that Leonard is not sufficiently healthy to play in back-to-back games at this time. What in the hell is going on? I mean, it is ridiculous.
A PR disaster.
And then, which I love, James Harden may now be my new favorite player. He came out, and I tweeted it out today. Maybe we can play the sound. James Harden on load management. Quote, even if I'm a little banged up, I try to push through this to a certain extent. Have you ever seen me not play because of load management?
Great point.
Great
Fantastic
point.
Fantastic point.
And not only him, a lot of others.
Always tries to get out
James
there.
Harden endearing himself to the public.
Yeah.
How about that?
So that's a clear shot.
No, absolutely. There was a...
Clippers covered, by the way, last night. Thanks to those 18 points.
There you go.
Did they?
Yeah, by a point.
Yeah. There was an article in the New York Daily News quoting Michael Jordan once upon a time saying, you're paid to play 82 games. Now, the new NBA player thinks, well, you're paid to make a run in the playoffs. I don't think Kawhi Leonard would buy you're paid to play 82. You're paid to push through the playoffs and win championships.
And I kind of side
there's
with Kawhi
argument,
on that.
Right?
I agree with Kawhi on that.
It's tough.
It's tough because the NBA
is bad for the fans.
It's way bad for the fans. It's certainly and I'm wondering.
But do those fans want to see Kawhi for 41 home nights a season or the one or two or three nights he comes to your town? Or do they want to see a fully functioning, healthy Kawhi Leonard when we get to late April, May, and June?
I'll answer that. I don't think it's a black and white answer, not meaning color. I think if you're a season ticket holder, you feel one way. If you're not a season ticket holder and you go one to two games a year, you feel another way.
Fair.
That's all. I think it's a good look for Lee. And I'm not entirely convinced, Craig and Chris, that they would have fined the Clippers had that game not been on ESPN on Wednesday night. Or, it was on TNT last night.
Or if Doc didn't open his mouth.
And then the follow-up questions, they said, well, is there a gray area between load management and what the NBA's policy is? And he goes, I don't know what to answer, and that's my answer.
Yeah.
He goes, so I'm not going to answer.
So it's a non-denial denial. But I'm not entirely convinced. Had that game not been on ESPN Wednesday night, if it was just local, that they would have done it.
So the next back-to-back night is next week for the Clippers. They're in Houston on Wednesday. That's an ESPN game. Mm-hmm. The next night they're in New Orleans. That's not nationally televised.
Well, I count NBA TV as nationally televised.
It doesn't have the NBA TV.
So he's going to play in the
right there.
So we presume he'll play in the ESPN
I'm assuming
and sit
he'll
out the
play in the yeah. There's got to be a mandate from the league to these teams. Hey, we understand that guys aren't going to play 82 games in a season, especially on the better teams where you're going to try to get guys healthy for the postseason stretch.
Yeah.
But when we've got nationally televised games, we've got to have our stars on the court.
But it helps if the first of the back-to-backs is the nationally televised game.
I don't think it matters, to be honest with you.
Really?
Yeah, think about it. I mean, so you're going to get 2 days off on the, play a game, get a day off. Your team plays that night, the following night. You're sitting a game. I don't think it matters.
Okay. Swishabake has texted in. Craig proves time and time again he's the modern-day sports Nostradamus. Thank you. I will take that.
That was sarcasm, Craig.
No. I think he's sincere.
No, he's not. He's talking about Golden State.
Sarcasm. So while I've got this schedule pulled up, they do have another back-to-back game. The Clippers do this year, both on national TV. Friday, February 28th. Never mind, I lied. It's a leap year next year. There's a February 29th. I lied.
What are the odds?
Unbelievable. Right. Sarasota Charles, it's easy for James Harden to say he always goes no matter what. He only plays basketball in half the court. Kawhi is one of the best defenders in the country. But still, you don't see him taking a lot of time off. Load management.
All right, your reaction to that at 239-337-ESPN. Coming up, we've got a trip down South Street. We'll revisit last night's Thursday night football game. Impressive win by the Raiders over the Chargers. Stay with us. We are just warming up on a Friday. It's Sheeman and Shepherd on 99.3 ESPN and the 99.3 ESPN app.
Taking a cruise through all the sound.
But they're not going to rook us.
Don't you ever talk about me!
Who was talking about you?
Come after me! I'm a man! I'm 40!
I can say anything I want. That's the beauty of this country.
I'm not laughing about it. You think this is funny? I take this serious.
It's time for
Sound Street on Sheeman and Shepherd.
Let's go to last night's game in the NFL. The Raiders leading the way most of the night, but then lost the lead. Had to come back. Dang it! Tampa power play goal, 2-0 over the Sabres.
Goal!
Here's John Gruden, great team win.
I'd like to say that was a great team effort and beat a really good team. We got a lot of respect for the Chargers. Thought defensively we got some really good play from all three levels. Whitehead was all over the field. Cleve Farrell and the pass rush showed up, and you can't say enough about Eric Harris in the secondary. I thought Derek Carr took care of the ball and had a couple great drives at the end of the first half to win the game. I was really proud of our team and thankful again for our fans.
You talked about Harris. Harris could have had 5 interceptions.
I mean,
it was just, he was dialed.
How do you line up in the neutral zone 3 times on one drive?
I don't know.
As soon as Cleveland
Furl. And it was
Furl,
legit, too. It was legit.
Absolutely. As soon as Furl did it twice.
I know. Just check your helmet.
Unbelievable. Not close.
I know.
And the thing with that play, the referee will hold his arm up.
Yeah.
Telling you that you're offside. I don't know if people know that. A little hidden gem. You see, the side judge has his hand up.
Yeah.
So if you look over
and
to
the
him.
And the Chiefs done that against the Patriots.
Right.
What are you doing?
And on offense, you can point at the line judge, and he'll tell you, yes, you're on the line, or you need to back off or scoot up.
Exactly. Only the Chiefs could have stopped 3 third and 10s or more. Maybe they would have won.
Here's John Gruden.
Or gotten the ball in overtime instead of the stupid rules.
Resilient Dumb effort, winning rules. On a short week after their massive victory over the Detroit Lions on Sunday. Cut two.
Cut two?
Yeah, John Gruden. Oh. Resilient effort.
You said Lions, it threw me.
I ad-libbed. You know, once in a while, I just ad-libbed. I'm a radio host.
It's either the Patriots or Lions. It's ad-lib.
That just says a lot about our team. For good. You know, we got a lot of resilient guys. They're going to keep competing. You know, you may beat us, but we're going to be a hard out to get. You know, we're going to battle. And that's all I can say about this team. We are very happy with our foundation, our process. And a lot of guys deserve credit, but I'm exhausted. Two games in 4 days is something I hate.
Trust the process. Trust the process.
They've played the hardest, the most difficult schedule in the NFL so far.
They have.
One of the easiest moving forward.
From traveling alone, just not being home. Yeah. I mean, that alone, yeah.
But
I mean,
they had 49 days between home games.
More than Tampa.
Is that worse than Tampa's?
Longest in Raiders history. I don't know about.
I think Tampa's close. Was worse.
I do think Tampa's was the worst.
But the Raiders' schedule moving forward is a cupcake deal. Anthony Lynn of the Chargers. Basically, we have to win out now in order to make the playoffs.
We have no choice. I mean, we have six games left, and we have to regroup, and we have to work on being 1-0 for next week. But, you know, as far as, you know, we have to work our tail off, you know, to reach our goal, and that was to get back to the tournament. And so, you know, I don't know if we can lose another game. And they understand that.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Hey. Quarterback going 0-7 with a pick in the last that was unbelievable.
That was not good. Derek Carr was good. Phillip Rivers was not.
No.
Bruce Arians. Tampa Bay Buccaneers taking on Arizona. The Bucs are just 2-6. Bruce says, hey, no denying it. We are what we thought we are.
Well, you are what you are. I mean, it's disappointing to be where we're at because we've had leads. We've come from behind. We've missed a kick. We don't get a call. That's all very disappointing because we should be in the hunt. And there's a lot of football left to get into the hunt. You know, you got to win one to get a string of one of them going, and we need to win one.
They got to win out to make the playoffs. Let's be perfectly clear. They have to win their next eight games.
Yeah, in the NFC, nine's not getting you in.
All right, so let's
presume they're not getting in the playoffs, and then now you have your answer on Jameis's future with the team. Matt Nagy gave a bit of an awkward answer when he was asked about Mitchell Trubisky, who wanted to turn all the TVs off of the facility so he couldn't hear all the criticism. Here it is.
For him, he's been... It's been the same really from the start. I didn't watch it. I heard that he said that. I didn't watch it, so I should probably do that and get a feel for where he was. Just me knowing him and knowing how he is, I'm assuming there was a little bit of tongue-in-cheek there with how he said it. I don't know that. I didn't see it.
No,
I will
wrong.
Watch it to answer you again. But,
You got to watch the film.
Him doing it?
Yeah, you got to watch the tape on it.
I got to watch it? Yeah, I guess so. I don't know. I'm trying to watch Detroit right now. I know that. So
distractions.
But yeah, I'll have to watch it and see.
All right, there you go.
Matt, I think that reporter was mocking you.
He was. Yeah. He was just saying,
I'll watch a film before I can answer you.
Yep, like every coach says after every single game.
That was a mock.
Unlike, or at least every loss.
Unlike Swishabuck's take on me saying that I'm Nostradamus.
Unlike who's?
What is it, Swishabake? Whatever.
Swishabake.
Yeah.
Yeah, you called him Swishabuck.
He was goofing on you.
I don't know who Swishabuck is.
He was goofing
on you because you thought you knew that Steph Curry would break his hand.
I didn't say that specifically. I just said the team. I said the team would wear down. I did not say it would specifically break his wrist. Ridiculous. Here's Jimmy GQ insisting that he didn't mean anything by calling Aaron Andrews baby.
Your post-game interview got a lot of attention with Aaron Andrews and what you said. Were you surprised that it took off the way it did?
I thought you were talking about the one in here with you guys. We had a little back and forth, me and you. No, but I didn't expect it to blow up like that. Is what it is, type of thing. But
is what it is.
Yeah, I was excited. 8-0, baby.
That wasn't a dare, was it? That was off the cuff.
No, yeah, I say baby like 500 times throughout a game, just to my teammates and stuff. Like it wasn't like that.
Okay.
No harassment here.
No, it wasn't like, hey, baby.
Hey, baby.
Hey there, Groovy Chip.
Let's go, baby.
Bolts up 2-0 on the Sabres at the break.
Buffalo has a power play, though, coming out of the second period.
The first break.
First period.
Period. Intermission.
Intermission.
Thank you.
Break. Intermission. Synonyms.
You know when you point at me like a soundbite's about to end?
Uh-huh.
You've got a baseball in your hand. I'm afraid you're going to just throw it through this glass window.
No.
You got control in there?
No. You know what's going to happen?
Control? Are you kidding me?
It'll hit the glass.
I'm like,
and then go
I'm like
back.
Wayne Gretzky in here with a puck on the end of my stick. It's basically tied to the end. I mean, there's no way. I can make this thing move if I wanted
to. You'd hit the ball. It would hit the back of the hit the glass and probably bounce back onto the board or your computer, and we'd
And then we couldn't play sound for the rest of the day. Yeah, that's what's going to happen.
Exactly. It's signed.
By whom?
I don't know.
Me?
You want me to sign it?
It looks like Luis Cummings, but I looked that up. That's not a baseball player, so it's not Luis Cummings.
All right, very good. When we come back, we'll hear from Nick Saban and
Ed Ogeron.
Maybe I thought we would do that later.
What do you mean later? 5
like,
o'clock?
I always set Sound Street up to be like yesterday's sound we play in Sound Street, and then when we have like previewing sound, we always do that in the 5 o'clock hour.
Well, I would like to talk some college football this segment.
No, absolutely.
Okay, nice all right, fine. Yeah, picture. We could play it twice.
Plus, we got a Pete Shepherd quiz.
Yeah.
That's fun.
Not a list, but a quiz.
A little quiz.
I don't have imaging for that.
That's okay. I was hoping to be
this
a
is
quiz.
Not Jeopardy.
It's all right.
It's just quiz.
Just fun.
All right.
It's Fun Friday.
All that coming
Have
up.
Have fun, damn it.
That's right. That's right, baby.
Baby.
Sheeman and Shepherd, baby.
Baby.
99.3 ESPN and the 99.3
ESPN
app.
Out, so can't say that anymore either.
No, you can't.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.